Looks like we're on. If you're watching at home, sound off in the comments on the side because YouTube Live has been doing its best to make me really angry. Thank you, Boilerman. Thank you, Olive Jazzer, Olive D Jazzer, Yahtzee. Let's go. All right, so we are live. I was on, I don't have a Reddit account. I don't know how Reddit works, I'll be real honest. I don't go on Reddit, but I did a search and YouTube Live was having a problem where you tried to edit your stream. Wouldn't let me edit. So I had to go and I had to set a predetermined launch. So maybe there's gonna be two of these. I don't have any idea. What I do know is you're starting with an upset boy with doubt here. Already. I'm going to get into my level of tenseness, and you can relate a little bit, but before I do it, I want to thank our sponsors. Thank you to Homefield Apparel. Head over to homefieldapparel.com. Enter Boiled 23, get 15% off of your favorite t-shirt, sweatshirt, hat. Be like my dad, get one of the script caps that they've got on there. Looks pretty sharp on my dad. You're not gonna look as handsome as my dad in that hat, I'm gonna be real honest, but you may look okay. So, if you want a shirt like this, check in. I've got a link in there, some custom produced stuff, custom boiled sports stuff. It's in the description. Also, when you're on campus, head to AJ's. My friend Adam will help you. His friend Jake will help you. And we're all gonna enjoy some Purdue basketball, some NCAA basketball, like last night. Great night of basketball last night if you're into non-Purdue stuff. I'm going to talk a little bit about my thoughts on the tournament here in a second, but before I get into all that, okay, so we're supposed to start at 12:10. I don't know if this is going to be janky and stop, so if you guys see anything happen in the margin, let me know, please. So I apologize for that. That is a great kickoff of a show, but I think I've got a pretty good thought that I want to share with you and I want to discuss with you and tell you how I'm doing because I'm weirdo. All right, so here's the deal, guys, girls, boys, girls, men, women, thrill seekers, Boilermaker lovers. I get a lot of this because if you're like me, you're probably known as the Purdue fan in your group of friends, or you're the person that people always want to hear your thoughts because you're a deranged lunatic. And so people just ask me, so what do you think about Purdue? What do you think about this path? I've got a friend at the gym who says, who he's a Tennessee fan. He says, what do you think about the draw? What do you think about playing Tennessee? I said, I gotta be real honest at this point. I don't want any of this anymore. Meaning, not that I don't want Purdue to be in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, but every team is really, really good. Gonzaga is really, really good. Tennessee and Creighton are really, really good. Of course, if you're blessed enough to get to Phoenix, Houston's really, really good. And then from the other side of the bracket, Illinois flexed their muscles a little bit. Not really last night. Iowa State took them out of their game, played a low-scoring game much of the day, got Terrence Shannon in trouble. Terrence Shannon gets into trouble, as you know, not only on the court, but off the court. North Carolina, I never believed in North Carolina. Jay and I talked about it. They're an inconsistent team. They're a team that if they're disinterested, they can just fall away. Last night, their mettle was tested and they failed by the Alabama team that your Boilermakers have beaten this early this season. But that was a fun one to watch, a real shootout. For a couple periods in that game, it was just back and forth. Really fun basketball. So I love the NCAA tournament. I love it when Purdue's in the NCAA tournament. It's my favorite event. But I am stressed. I just gotta be really honest. I'm really stressed. I'm really bothered. And like Anish has so brilliantly put the other day, or one of the handsome hours, one of the basketball beats, is he wanted things to continue to cook along in February because you knew there was no cliff. It was just fun to watch this team play, and you like watching this group. If you look at the picture on today's post, it's a fun-loving group. It's an easy to root for group. You got a lot of guys, a lot of stories in here that if you dig in deep, you're like, yeah, this is a team that it's fun to support these guys. And so you're feeling like I am a little bit, maybe. You're like, okay, yeah, I believe Purdue should beat Gonzaga. They have beaten Gonzaga. Gonzaga's improved. Purdue's pretty damn good. Purdue's one of the best teams in the nation. No one's going to deny that. But at the same time, the stakes are high, right? If they lose, if they don't play well, if they turn over the ball too much, which has been a bugaboo for this team, if they get up to that Painter says 13 turnovers, in case you're wondering. That's what he says in his pressers. If you get to that 13 turnover threshold, Purdue's in trouble, flat out in trouble. And we've seen it happen a couple times this year. It doesn't take much to get to 13 turnovers when you're playing a good team, because they're going to do things that are sound. They're going to be in the passing lanes. Gonzaga isn't a team that turns you over a whole bunch, but the first time Purdue played them, Purdue turned over the ball a lot. Purdue didn't shoot the ball exceptionally well. Painter talked about this. We didn't play well. He said flat out, we didn't play well. And his point is, okay, we won by 10, but we didn't really, we can play better basketball. If you listen to the players in the presser, you can hear a seriousness to them. They're obviously not taking this game lightly. Fletch Lawyer got called Foster Lawyer right from the get-go in that press conference. He didn't like that very much. Braden Smith thought it was funny. Zach Edey thought it was funny. But he didn't. And these pressers, I'm always looking to glean something that's really interesting. There's never anything all that interesting. I watch Gonzaga's presser, and I watch Purdue's. One thing that I'm bothered by, and you guys have gotten this from me over and over, whether it's Wisconsin playing fake nice guy or Gonzaga doing the same thing, I don't like disingenuousness. If you're a jerk, be a jerk. Be, what's his name, Hawkins from Illinois. Embrace your assness, right? Be who you are. But Gonzaga is one of these teams that they don't do that. They pretend that they're nice guys. And they, from the coaches to the players, everybody plays nice and they talk nice and they say the right things. That's great. It's great because you're like, okay, it takes poise to do that, okay? But the story that we're hearing from good Purdue outlets is that Braden Smith, they tried to tamper and pull him away from Purdue and pay him money, which is a compliment. Braden Smith is good. They saw the long view that Braden Smith was going to get better. They saw this season. And they said, you could be our starting point guard. Braden Smith turned them down. Okay. And during the first Purdue game, according to a very good source in the Purdue family, we hear that their assistant coaches were talking shit to Smith the entire game. That's not nice guy stuff. That's stuff that's bullcrap. And it is, I'm not kidding. Braden should be flattered. Any program that approaches him, I don't know how these back channel communications work, but anytime one of these back channel communications comes after one of your Purdue guys, take it as a compliment. He's really good. Braden Smith is really good. And Gonzaga knows he would have been a really good fit there. So they have to play with their fallback, their starting point guard, because Braden Smith turned them down. But they weren't man enough to just accept his answer. They had to go ahead and chirp the entire game and give him shit. And so that's when I start liking to grow the chip on my shoulder. And I hope Purdue has the chip on their shoulder too. Hope they have a big chip on their shoulder. Being one of the best teams in America, being number one seed, is a big deal. It shows that you've earned something. And Purdue has definitely earned it this year. But as Zach Edey said the other day, he didn't come here just to go to a Sweet 16. He came here for a long run. Another thing Zach Edey said, which I loved, was no pressure, just basketball. And that, to me, if I want to sum up the way I'd like to see this team approach every game, no pressure, just basketball. We can do this as a business. We're good enough to do this as a business. Good enough to come in, just handle our own and play our game and beat good teams. And so now I wanted Purdue to get to the Sweet 16 a week ago. You guys heard me say that. I was ready for teams ready to play Purdue straight up. We're going to see a team that might play Purdue straight up. Utah State did, and it didn't work out well for them, right? So let's see what happens with Gonzaga. Some Purdue fans out there are very confident, think it's a 20-point win. Purdue will roll. If you're like me, you think it's going to be stressful. And the reason I do that is I have a hard time wrapping my head around Purdue getting past the round of 16, around the round of 8, into the Final Four, and holy moly if they get to the championship. And the reason I can't do that is because I'm a logical person who actually remembers the previous chapters. I don't think Purdue is damned to losing to 16 seeds. I don't think that at all. But I do know that when Purdue was rolling at a consistent rate under Matt Painter, it was Sweet 16s. That's not a bad place to be. In fact, that's what Gonzaga has hung their hat on. They get to Sweet 16s. They're really, really good at it. Mark Few is very good at getting past those first two rounds. Some could argue they've been overseeded. I would argue that Gonzaga has been overseeded. You win the West Coast Conference. Congratulations. That and $3 get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. I don't respect the West Coast Conference. I do respect what Gonzaga has done from their consistency standpoint. They've gone about getting players in unusual ways, meaning going to Europe, going to places where a lot of guys aren't harvested from in typical college basketball. And Few has a definite program identity. His players are good. He produces NBA players. If you're into that sort of thing, I don't care about that, but he produces winners. They need to go up to another league. They need to be in a bigger pond, but they're not. Over and over, they're not. They've had opportunities that just never works out. Should Purdue beat them? Yes. Will it be stressful? Yes. This is my thought. But I wanted to tell you guys a little bit something about what I've been thinking about. And it's a weird thought. And the question is, what did dating my wife when we were in college teach me to, and how did it prepare me for what I'm going through right now? This is a weird thing, and I don't know if this is going to make sense. I kind of test ran it through my head, but didn't really talk through it. So bear with me for a second. Okay, I started dating my wife in high school. She was a junior, I was a senior, and we dated through college, all through Purdue. About midway through, right? I mean, like earlier in that freshman year, I was all in with her. I was like, okay, I told her I loved her. I was completely all chips on the table. This is the person I want to be with. And she liked me, and she dated me, and she put up with me, like you guys may do, because I am, after all, who I am. But I was not sure how the thing was going to end. I was not sure how it was going to end. I said, okay, this is the woman I love. This is the girl I love. How do you want to say it? She was young. You know, she's 19, 20. I was 19 or 20. And so when I heard country music songs, certain country music songs, certain sad songs on the radio, it would kind of ring me out a little bit. I was like, dang, man, darn it. This feels like this is how we could end, right? I didn't know the end of the book, of the movie, whatever you want to say. And the same thing feels that way about this Purdue team. I love this Purdue team, and it's dumb for me to trivialize my feelings for my wife and my relationship with my wife with Purdue basketball. But I'm passionate about both, and I don't know how this one's going to end. And so when I think about the way other teams have bowed out of the tournament, or in the history, when a really great player's career has ended prematurely, meaning, man, that team was good enough to win a championship and they didn't. Then I think and I project that onto my Boilermakers this year. I get a little sad. I'm like, dang it, I don't want to end that way, right? So we don't know the end of this thing until it's over. And if you're like me, you're like, dag nab, I love this group. I love this team. I want it to keep going. I do not want this season to end. I want them to put it all out. I want them to sell out, do whatever you want to say, and then I want them to see them go win. I want there to be some drama. I want this to be a beautiful ride, right? So that's the whole thing. I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but it came to me. And you can tell me if I'm an idiot. That's okay if you do. After all, I got told I was an idiot pretty much by Jay on the show the other day. He just kind of went after me. He's not coming out here giving you the quick cast, but he went after me. Got after me a little bit. Let's talk about something else. There's no formula. This is something I wanted to talk about. There's no formula for every team to get there. There are coaches that get it. Anish has said often that it's a crapshoot and it's luck in the NCAA tournament. It is not luck, but there is no formula. There are certain things you need to do, but there is no formula. Point guard play has always been important. Having a new thing, having experienced guards that are just get dudes, right? Men. That's an important thing. And having a coach that knows how to prepare a team, knows how to talk to teams during the huddle, that matters too. But there's just no formula. And more in the next step of that, there is no guarantee. Many Purdue fans, I've heard them say things like, well, it's got to break sometime. No, not necessarily. There is no guarantee. And if you're into history and sports and history in general, you can look back at tons of programs that just never get it done. Really good teams never getting over the hump. Great teams not getting to the Final Four, not winning a championship. So in that way, you got to say, okay, just take it for what it is today. Enjoy the game for what it is. Enjoy as you look back at the season for what they are. But I think every Purdue fan has been focusing on this and next weekend all season. So we're right where we want to be as fans, as supporters, as alums, however much you want to say, whatever your connection is to the program. But there's no guarantee. That's kind of the sad thing. It doesn't matter how hard you've worked, how well they've done, the things they've sacrificed, whatever. It doesn't guarantee you a win. And it doesn't guarantee that that day you're going to get it done, right? So hopefully today it's another day that Purdue plays their best game. Maybe, I don't believe really in luck. I don't believe in any of that stuff. But things just kind of line up well. The matchup is good, and the best version of Purdue comes, and they go and they claim what's theirs. Another thing I thought was interesting, another observation I had, and I've just been talking for 15 straight minutes without even talking to you guys, but one thing that I thought was interesting, if you watch the Gonzaga podcast that Morrison and Dickow talk about Gonzaga basketball, very interesting thing. Some of you have noticed this because you've reached out to me on Twitter and said it. Gonzaga considers himself a blue blood. I don't know who considers Gonzaga a blue blood. And Anish and Jay and Michael and I have all talked about who are the blue bloods. We think there are four. You can go back and find them if you want to guess who they are. You can say in the margin. If you've heard us say it, you can say it. But I would not put Gonzaga in the blue blood category. So there's a bit of a paradox Gonzaga is suffering from, because they call themselves a blue blood, and they're some two of their greatest players ever called themselves blue bloods. I think both of them may have won player of the year, if I'm remembering correctly. I know Morrison did. And Dickow was close if he didn't. He was a good player. But they called themselves a blue blood. And then a second later, they called themselves an underdog. So I don't know if blue bloods think of themselves as underdogs, even when they're not good. Like when Kentucky's an 8 seed, they still think, we're Kentucky. And we've got guys on this bench. We've got dudes over here, right? So Gonzaga has a bit of a paradox of their personality, a bit of a paradox of what they believe they are. Maybe an internal battle. But I can tell you from the external, if you're watching this and you're a Gonzaga fan, I can tell you, I don't think you're a blue blood. Not because of anything to do with today, but to me, there are a lot of things that define a blue blood. Long-term success is there, but to me, the championship is the big one. That is why Purdue is not a blue blood. When I look at this and I say, we're with you. We're not blue bloods. If you're a blue blood, Purdue's a blue blood. Going to the championship doesn't make you a blue blood. Ask Butler, right? That's not enough. Getting a championship gets you started, and maybe you need to win a couple. We even don't know if we think UConn is a blue blood. And UConn, their success, to me, it's long, it's consistent. They had a couple little dips when they've gone through different coaches and kept that success. It's pretty tough. If they're not a blue blood, they'd be called the new bloods, right? They're right there. But their success isn't deep. It doesn't go 30, 40 years back, 50 years back. You're even further in some of these programs. But anyway, that's about it. So been good, healthy banter between Purdue and Gonzaga fans so far. Let's hope it can continue as you get on your social media accounts. I can tell you that I've been on those things sparingly recently, just because I don't want to get any more stressed out than I am, just quite frankly. So here are your comments. Thanks for everybody tuning in. Like I said, Boilerman is here and he's frozen. Too cold. Yahtzee says Olive Jazzer. Nita Beanverse says, yeah, I was hoping for one today. Glad to be here. Wish I was not such a basket case, quite honestly. Wish I would have no problems getting on here. It was a little bit of a difficulty. Greg McManus says, we're live. Hello. Yes, sir, we are. My allergies are live, too. And as you look at the beautiful flowers, all you can think of B-Dowd and eyes burning and just total gravel to my voice. I can't deal with it. So beautiful day, though. We are live, and it is a beautiful day in Indiana. I think it's mid-50s and sunny. So let's see. Midwest Toker says, a little nervous, as to be expected. I'm with you. Akuldi says, at work, wish I was at home. Yeah, this time of year, I think that's where it starts feeling. It feels like these should be holiday days, and they're not automatically, sadly. And if your coworkers aren't sickos like you, then they don't even relate. So Olive Jazzer says there's no tension, none whatsoever. Yeah, I think you're lying. I got that. John Younger says no nerves, strictly a business trip for these guys. I'm about to do my part and grab some margaritas at lunch. Well done. You are in a better space than me. You're taking a deep breath, enjoying the nice day. It's spring after all, and basketball's playing. It's a great time of year. Let's see. Akoldi says UNC Bama reminded me of Tennessee versus Purdue. Yeah, that was a lot like that game a couple years ago. I don't know if you guys have talked about this or had this inside your head. I don't know if it makes me feel good or bad. Probably bad that Purdue has beaten so many of the teams that are still alive that could are in their potential path. Why? Because I'm a Purdue fan. And I remember the rough patches, not the good stuff, right off the top of my head. If you talk to Jay, he thinks that Purdue or Tennessee is due. So, yeah. Zach Young says, as Bill O'Reilly said, F it, we'll do it live. Exactly. We'll do it live! So, yeah. In 2019. Don't know what that is, but That's a reference probably to Purdue running through the tournament or having a good run, getting to the Elite Eight, hitting Matt Painter's glass ceiling in the Elite Eight. Yeah, Beaver says, I'm feeling the typical Purdue fan nerves. Yep, the rational side of my brain says Purdue will handle business. I'm with you. The March trauma, scarred side, brain says anxious, anxiety, anxious. Yep. Matt Hosteller says, Field of 68 guys said that Shannon is a better player than Zach. They're very different. Shannon's a heck of a player, there's no doubt. Athletically, great player. The weird thing, if you've watched Field of 68 or Sleepers or CBS, any of those three, they all have the same kind of formula, and that is what whoever just played, like right before they go on, that's the greatest team ever, and they have the greatest player ever. And then the next day, when the team UConn, let's say UConn would play, then that UConn team is the best team ever, and the greatest player. And then the next day when Purdue play, same thing. And the next day with Houston and Shedd would play real well. That's the best player. I mean, goodness gracious. I think they don't expect us to watch all the shows or to remember what they said, and they don't want accountability, or they're just like, okay, we're just embracing the clickbaitiness of this whole thing. Regardless, there's no accountability there. Nate Hartman says, I feel nervous being outwardly confident. Yeah, no, this is me. I'm with you, Nathan. Nate, sorry, not Nathan. Sorry, Nate. How you been? Feels like the moment I start talking, they'll lose. I just want to enjoy the ride with each game. I'm with you though. I feel stressed. So Nate and I know each other. We've known each other since Nate was a younger guy. Nate's a very good, steadfast boiler. But I am so weird about this. I told you I wouldn't buy tickets ahead, and it's cost me because I really would like to be in Detroit right now. If you're anything like me, I'd like to be at the game. But the tickets are now up in the 400s at on Vivid Seats and StubHub and name a service. I can't. $479, $429, plus a drive, plus I'm buying another ticket for my son if I do that. I can't do it. So my weirdness is so in my head that I'm like, and I'm like I said, I don't call myself a superstitious person, but I think that I'm gonna ruin it either by talking or making plans. And then I think I'm gonna ruin it by not talking and making plans if I'm not prepared. I'm a mess, man. So I'm with you. You're probably better off than me. Acoldi says UNC friends weren't happy. No doubt about it. Greg Maness, Field of 68 guys, no negative statements about Purdue. Gets Purdue fan engagement. That's true. Purdue fans get revved up. It's because what we do. That's what we are. Solar says, I'm nervous too, but we should be okay. John Younger, Gonzaga has improved in ways that don't really hurt Purdue. I think it's a good matchup for Purdue, John. I'm with you. I think one thing that they don't have is they don't have Edie. And then on top of that, Lance Jones and Braden Smith are both due for good games. I don't know how else to say that. They just are. And so Purdue is adding to an already good team with additional capabilities. Gonzaga has improved as well, but I like our Boilers. Tom Heading says, love the shirt. Boiler up, hammer down. Jim Garfinkel says, turnovers. Yeah, but it's the points off turnovers that kill the Boilers. But the problem is about those turnovers, they're generally at the top of the key. If you look at Purdue's problem, it's been either Jones or Smith turning the ball over, a bad pass, passing lane, or just dribbling too much, one of those things. So they can eliminate him. They've done a pretty good job keeping him checked much of the second half of the season. Austin Ray says, starting looking at the 2000 bracket with the Elite Eight loss to Wisconsin. Didn't remember Purdue beating Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. Yeah. Purdue beating Gonzaga in the Elite Eight for Elite Eight appearances. I'm here for it. Let's do it again. Good. Repetition of history, always nice. Matt Hostetler says, not to put the cart before the horse, but theoretically, I'd like to play UConn in the championship, not Illinois. Want Illinois to go down tomorrow. Illinois is going to go down tomorrow. They've been playing with fire a little bit. So they're a good team, but UConn's a great team. And UConn's been really, really consistent. You are thinking, by the way, exactly like me, because you're like, we're playing with fire. The funny thing is, two comments ago, we had the Wisconsin parallel. Well, Wisconsin beat Purdue three times that season to get to the Final Four, Purdue in the Elite Eight. So Wisconsin was able to do it, but we don't believe. Hold on, I'm going to sneeze. Sorry, allergies are killing me. But we don't believe Purdue should. We don't want any part of that, probability of playing a team a third time to beat them, especially in the championship. I agree. There's a couple stages before that, obviously. one game at a time, blah, 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 coach speak. We're all fans. It really doesn't affect anything. What we don't want to do is create bulletin board material as fans, especially somebody like me who talks too much in public. Okay, Ancient Astronaut says, I'm feeling good, hammered down. Brian T. says, I feel like Boiler Nation is the most reluctantly optimistic fan base out there. Well, please don't hurt us again. We'll be enthusiastically cheering tonight, though. Todd Singer, how are you, man? Thanks again for the bottle. Really appreciate it again. Villanova and Arizona, no way. Villanova and Arizona, no way. So tell me what this is. What is that a reference to? I know. Yeah, I don't know. Villanova and Arizona. You got to explain, Todd. I'm sorry. By the time you explain it, it'll be 15 minutes from now, 10 minutes from now, and I'll have forgotten because I'm a moron. Kentucky. There's a conversation I'm missing here. Are these Villanova, Arizona, Kentucky? All right. Ancient Astronaut says, Smith hasn't popped yet. Today is the day. I agree. I think he's due. Albuquerque Boiler says, University of Arizona, UNC losing. Dare to dream up Final Four ticket prices declining. Yeah, this is a good thought. And I think I told you guys, I mean, like I want to go to Phoenix for the Final Four to be around you guys and be around the Boiler fans just to feel that. And I've been trying to figure out how to do that, how to manage it, but I'm almost positive I can't afford tickets. Again, if you look, they're going to be $1,000+. I can't do that. And so, yeah, there's so much. I was explaining to my wife today how much corporate stuff sits on the Final Four in every game. And there's hundreds, if not thousands, of tickets taken up by those entities. And then you have half-empty seats or sections that are empty because these corporations are like, we don't like any of these teams, right? Unless it's a blue blood, a true blue blood that everybody's interested in, or the interesting story of the tournament. I don't know who the interesting story of the tournament is right now, by the way. Right? Is there a team that you're like, wow, this is a fun Cinderella? There really isn't that, right? You just have teams that have kind of handled their business and a lot of fun matchups because of it. But almost every year, there's a fun story that the casual fan could glom onto. Sister, what's her name? I can't even think of the school. A couple years ago. Sister Jean, right? She's doing great, by the way. I don't know if you saw a video. She's like 103 years old, and she's sharper than me. I can't even remember where she's from. So Jeff Nestor says, Smith with a triple-double today. Well, wouldn't it be great to see Smith get that triple-double, get over the hump, because he's flirted so many times with it this year. That'd be awesome. Todd Singer says, I can see the argument for UCLA and UConn. Oh, Blue Bloods. That's what we're talking about. Blue Bloods. Okay. So there's an argument for UCLA and UConn. Okay, UCLA, though, had too much of a fall-off. So here, I'm going to go back. Now I got you. I'm so sorry. Dagnabbit. So Kentucky... Here, North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas. There it is. Yeah, you're right. North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas. Those are the blue bloods. You're correct, Todd. Sorry for being slow on the uptake. That's correct. That's who we think they are. We discussed it. I think that's it. The next group, UConn is right there. UCLA is not there anymore, right? Because of inconsistency and they dropped the ball quite a few times. They're good program still. But the funny thing is it's a different level. Those other four, different level. Boiler Bugle said, oh, that's somebody. Kyle Ray says, oh, baby, rocking my Edie jersey at work today. All right. Already getting ready. Getting pumped for this evening. Lacoldi says, Villanova is a blue blood to me because they get blue blood talent. Villanova to me is not a blue blood. I would at best put them in that new blood, right? And I know they have a championship in the mid-80s. I remember Raleigh Massimino. I understand the idea. So you could argue that's the longevity. This is the problem with all this. All this stuff is kind of created for discussion, right? In this era, we do this now. We say LeBron or Jordan is the greatest. Who's the blue blood? That sort of thing. There's no real answer, right? But the funny thing is media types, they'll say it and then it'll cause a fire, an absolute fire. But I do not hear Gonzaga in that conversation. I don't think they have earned their way in there. Let's see, Todd Singer says, are you including their 85 run in that? I think that's the talk about Villanova. Acoldi says, Wright made them one, although they had a crap coach. They have a crap coach now. And that matters, right? Let's see what they do. I don't know how many years they'll ride with the coach they have now, but they're not there, right? If you watch them play this year, they're not there. And that's two straight years they're not there. UConn, conversely, they would reload players, reload coaches. So to me, they're very close, if not absolutely in the blue blood thing. The UConn machine, to me is they've obviously won. That's a big deal. But boy, they've got the media on their side because of ESPN's systems and the location and all that. And yeah, they're right there. UConn is as close to those group of four as I know. So let's see. Solar says announcers were stoking Shannon all night. Stroking Shannon all night, yeah. T Rick says, after last night, a bit nervous, but I think UConn and you are the real challenges if Purdue plays at a high level. Here's the thing. So here, I'm gonna give you guys, tell me what you think about this. When Purdue plays their best basketball, there's only one team in America that can beat them. UConn. When Purdue plays their absolute best, when they're at their peak. Now, when UConn plays normally, I think Purdue can beat them. I think there's only one team that can beat UConn right now, the way UConn's playing. Obviously, UConn was beaten a couple times by non-Purdue. When UConn plays their very best basketball, I don't know if Purdue can beat them. So there's my caveat. If Purdue gets to play UConn, it's in the championship and it is house money, right? Good friend of mine, who I don't know if he's listening. He said he's been listening off and on to these posts, but he and I discussed things last night, and he said the problem with being a number one seed is your expectations become Final Four. Playing to seed, like we always talk about at Boiled Sports, playing to seed is getting to the Final Four. And you don't feel satisfied with the season unless you meet expectations. So once Purdue gets to the Final Four, now you say, now we play with house money. They've put some things to get bed. Like I said, the babies were put to bed in those first two rounds. Now you're kind of cementing things, get past Painter's ceiling in the Elite Eight, and get to the Final Four. Now you're like, okay, they've done some things. You've set historical precedent. You've done some new stuff. But UConn, though, is really, really good. No doubt about it. They are beatable. We have seen that this season, but they are really good. And when Purdue is playing great, truly their best basketball, Illinois can't beat them. We know that. That's been proven. Could Houston beat them? Who knows? Maybe we'll get to find out. But I don't think Houston can beat the best version of Purdue because I don't think they can keep up with them offensively. Their defense is awesome. But if Purdue's playing well, they can break up Houston's strength. So just a theory, just thoughts. Dick Stillwagon says, all hail. Matt Keller says, I'm going to the game tonight and can't wait to enjoy the March Madness environment. Boiler up. That's awesome, Matt. Glad you got tickets. Wish I could be there with you. Tried to find a way. There's no way I can do it. Just no way. Greg Manis says, if Iowa State hits all the bunnies, they flat out miss the entire game, then Illinois is out today. Or Illinois wipes them out if they can hit free throws. Yeah, so that's a really good point. Illinois' free throw shooting was awesome. They were so bad. Like I mean, it's one of the worst free throw shooting performance I've ever seen. Because you'd see guys come to the line, Shannon, 81.2% free throw shooter, if I'm remembering correctly, and he'd doink them. And he kept missing, kept missing, kept missing. So your leader is not doing what he's supposed to do. That's the type of game you're opening the door for a worse team to walk through the door. Iowa State's good, but they're not as good as Illinois. And then the other side, how many layups can Iowa State miss? That one guy threw an alley-oop over the rim, just kind of tossed it over. And they had so many times when they tried to play with pace on offense, they looked completely discombobulated, almost like they're like, okay, we have no idea what to do now. It's kind of a shame because they wanted to counterpunch Illinois every now and again. They get a chance to run out after a stop, and they wouldn't do anything with it. But pretty fun game. Almost got to see Hawkins lose. That would have been fun. Brendan Kramer says Purdue easily wins this game if Braden doesn't get cooked by Nembhard and Edie stays out of foul trouble. Braden's not gonna get cooked by Nembhard. I don't think that's if it goes down with Purdue. I don't think that's how it happens. If it goes down, it's one of Gonzaga's shooters getting really hot, and I think it's guys a mid-sized to a large guy, meaning a 6'10" guy shooting threes. That's just my prediction, and I don't think it's gonna happen. Again, Todd Singer says you skipped way down from the comment you started of mine. Yeah, I got you, Todd. Sorry about that. Yep. Sorry, I try to go through these at someone somewhat fast, especially when I've read a bunch of the same ones over and over. Yeah, so I just to try to keep it moving because I can't answer everything, or I'd be here even longer. We're almost to 35 minutes right now. Tatsuya says Villanova probably doesn't win that game versus Georgetown if there was a shot clock at the time. Yeah, Raleigh Massimino, that was just a master class because he did not have any horses compared to Georgetown. That was incredible. Chris Curtis says Loyola. Thank you. Loyola was the was where Sister Jean was from. Acoldi says Clemson is the Cinderella. I guess that's the feel-good story, but they're not really a feel-good story because I don't think anybody loves loves Clemson. I mean, if you listen, I don't care about Clemson. I watch them play. That's not a good team. Go back and look at their last five, six games of the season. They got just worked by Boston College, either in the ACC tournament or right at the end of the season. They played really poor in January at times. They squeaked by bad teams. The ACC, I'm convinced, is still not very good. North Carolina helped prove that last night, and other teams in the conference have shown they're not very good. Of course, Virginia just absolutely pooping their pants. But yeah, I don't think Clemson. I know that's a huge win last night. It's a great win. I'm shocked that they're still alive. But I don't know if anybody's like, "Wow, I love this Clemson squad." Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you are. Clemson versus Alabama, of course, next round. Great football matchup. Basketball matchup nobody cares about. So, go Bama. Poverty Specs says beating the same team three times in a row is hard. It's very hard, but it's actually statistically not as hard as you think. Somebody did a whole, I believe it's on this very website, on YouTube. There's a guy who does a study of beating a team a third time in a row. It's actually statistically not that hard. Because what it really, after you've beaten them twice, it shows you, okay, you're a better team. Your matchup problems for that team. And yeah, so it's a pretty good study if you get to see it. It's pretty fun. Zach 3605 says, if we make it to the Final Four, I hope we play Illinois in the championship just to stick it to the Illinois idiots on Twitter. There are a lot of them. Kyle Ray says, Boiler Dad, your daytime quick cast helped me get through the workday all the time. Keep the great content. Thank you, Kyle. Glad to hear that. Glad to be of help. It's actually helped me today. This is what I always said, the catharsis of this starting as just a blog and now doing these video casts has been good for me, and I have been a mess. My wife and my kids have had to deal with it, so I apologize to them publicly here. Boiler Up says NC State could be, I guess. Yes, okay, there you go. That's it. Good. I agree, Boiler Up. NC State with Burns, because he's a ginormous human being. That's the feel-good story of the team. But if you look at that team, I think they're all five players, if I'm correct about this, are transfers. So Illinois has a ton of transfers. And what I'm talking about is that something that, like, you got this great kind of Rocky story, you know, fighting your way out of a tough situation, whatever. Burns' story, his path is really interesting. A lot of guys now, of course, go to two, three schools, you know, that sort of thing. I'm not big on that, but I like Burns. I think he looks like he's having fun. It looks like it's amazing to be that heavy and to play Division One basketball. That's an incredible thing. Man, how many calories do you have to eat to stay that big when you're working out that hard? And he works hard. Dude is a good player. It's really good. But yeah, I'd say NC State's that team. So Todd Singer says, thanks for the quick cast. Glad to do it again. Minier says it's because they're holding teams to 17% for three. NC State is who he's talking about. Yeah, they're playing good defense. Trying to remember the guard up front. Remember, Purdue played NC State a couple years ago, and I think one or two of those guys that was on that team is still there. And that was, I think, Purdue what squeaked out in overtime. Their NC State's coach looked like his head was going to pop off. That was a rough one. He was really angry about the officiating. And by the way, that's before Zach Edey was a significant force. So Purdue fans know refs have always favored Purdue. Stupid damn narrative. Rahul Kamardi says, I'm sorry if I didn't get your name. Rahul Kamardi says, seriously, thanks for the quick cast. You're welcome. Glad you're here. It says, enjoy the irony of doing my master's at Clemson right now. Okay. Yeah, so by the way, great school. That would be a fun place to be. It looks awesome. That campus looks awesome. I still don't understand the Death Valley thing at Clemson. Somebody can explain that to me. I could find it in 5 minutes, but doesn't make any sense. Acoldi says, never really considered them a power in football. They just have a historic run of late. And that's Clemson, I believe. So we're talking about Clemson versus Alabama. Clemson is a power. I would say Clemson's a power. And there are levels of this. They're really good. They're like Villanova almost, right? Where you've got championships recently, and then if you skip back to another era, they were really, really good then too. So yeah. MHC, I think this might be it, says, thanks for the distraction before the game. Need that Purdue talk to get rid of some of the nerves. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. We're hours now. So it's what, a 7:29 tip, if I'm remembering correctly. Right now it's 12:48 here in central Indiana. So you got 7 hours, guys and girls. I don't think everybody can go get margaritas at lunch, but enjoy your day for what it is. It's a good thing. And like I said, we're blessed to have the opportunity for our favorite team to be this far. It feels a hell of a lot better than it did last year, for darn sure. And the team looks like they're handling their business, and let's hope they continue to do that. Thank you to everyone who tuned in today. Ken, everybody here is rooting for you. You got a lot of people rooting and praying for you, and it's awesome. He gave us a report in case you guys care, if you have been keeping up with my pal Ken out in Oregon. Really good reports from the doctors, and he's fighting like hell, and he said he's feeling good. So that's the big thing. And he is a legit Boiler fan now, and it's quick how quickly he's become that, and that's thanks to my brother-in-law. He has nurtured that. Dan, well played, well done. So thanks to everybody tuning in, and hopefully later on tonight when we speak, it's happy, happy, joyful Boiler Dowd. I can tell you it will be, because I don't like Gonzaga. That's shocker to most of you guys who are tuning in. Thanks for tuning in, though. Have a great day. God bless you. Hammer down. We'll see you.